what was your reaction when he put the... what was your reaction when Governor Dunn hung the painting of Abraham Lincoln in the governor's office in Tennessee?
Well, I had no reaction at all, though. I recall it, but I had no reaction whatsoever.
Now, what did it signify to you?
Well, it's really hard to say what it signified. It's really hard to say. You know, knowing Winfield Dunn, he'd do anything. You might not even know it was Abraham Lincoln on the picture. You know, very seriously, you know. Someone could have very well, you know, sent him the picture, and he thought it was something good to do, and he just put it up. I don't think he would have any meaning behind it at all. Now, since he put it on the wall, someone probably told him they'd come up with some real reason. But, you know, I just assumed that Winfield knew what he was doing.
How about his kindergarten program?
He didn't pass his program. The Democrats passed. We passed ours. He didn't pass it. Which one? Administration or this?
Didn't he propose?
We killed that about 2 years ago. It's dead. He just didn't get through.
And the statewide, you're saying the statewide kindergarten program has not come originate with Governor
Dunn? Yeah, but not here. The program that we passed had nothing to do with Winfield Dunn. It was totally a different bill from Winfield Dunn altogether. The Democratic controlled House implemented the kindergarten program that we have now in the state of Tennessee.
How do you view the issue on the Tennessee's lack of a state income tax?
I don't know. You know, state income tax, I think, has been a real, real touchy issue. Number one, what it would be, 1977, 78 before the Constitutional Convention. Yeah. Anyway, you know, a real touchy position, you know. It's been a real tough spot. I don't view it no way. I don't know. I'm not that much of a financial expert, you know, to know whether, you know, it's good or bad. Some people say it's good, some people say it's bad. You know, and I don't know, in as much as legislators have. We have nothing to do with it, and even me trying to get, you know, bogged down with it. We have nothing at all to do with state income tax.
The, depending on who one talks to, we have heard the contention made that, that Jake Butcher and large support, strong support in the black community in Memphis was attributed solely just to financial investments on his part in the campaign.
In what campaign?
For governor. And I mean, the charge has been made that the black vote in Memphis was bought by Butcher, secondarily by Haney to a lesser extent. Is that basically true, or is that an oversimplification, or is there no validity to it at all?
I doubt if they bought any votes. I don't think black votes can be bought. You know, the white racist papers and white racist people talk about, you know, candidates buying black votes. You know, black folks not dumb. If that's the case, Dutch Oldham spent more money in practically all of them. Did he buy white votes? You know, Lamar Alexander spent tons of money. Did he buy white votes?
What was the basis then of Butcher's strong showing in black precincts in Shelby County?
I guess the same, you know, blacks had to debate selected them a candidate. It was about 15 of them running. You know, I think Lamar Alexander spent more money than all of them. I mean, he didn't accuse him of buying no, you know, white vote.
No, which I'm, the point, the fact is, I mean, the returns showed that Butcher did run way ahead of the field. There was a black candidate running. What was there about, why did Butcher do so well?
Yeah, but now, see, the only thing about it, that's a racist statement, number one. And I personally, anytime anyone questioned me on a racist statement, see, then I, you know, you give me a different opinion even of you.
Now, well, you know, that's why I wanted to make it clear. I'm not making the statement. My question is this. This is what we hear from other people.
Now, you might hear that from the news media. I don't think you heard that from other people.
No.
The news media might have said that itself. all that you hear from other people. That's the same
thing. We've heard it from other people. Now, it may be some of the other people. We've heard it from our Republican.
A racist newspaper, racist, morning and evening paper put out. And now, I don't know neither one of the two that well. Well, I know both of them well, but not, well to defend them. But I just hate to see the word black folks always being brought up. Because black folks voted for me. What do they do? Come out and buy them. Black folks can't be bought. And,
okay, so
and I firmly state that black folks cannot be, but that day and time was over.
All right.
It was over a long time ago. If that was the case, then in 1971, when Bill Morris was running, he could have bought every vote in town, black vote in town. Blacks would have won a man with no money. It's white folks who were raking off these white candidates for all the money and then trying to put it on the black community. Is white firms here who charge $500,000 to handle the PR work who go out there and pick up some white support in the community and bring them in on a staff to run a campaign. Black folks, I think, went out and voted for the person who they wanted to vote for.
And what was the basis in a Butcher's appeal?
I think that his credentials, made him worthy of not only picking up the votes he picked up, he should have won in the primary. Chick Butcher should have. I think he's about 37 years old. He's appealing. He's got the type of a personality that you could accept. And according to his platform, a poor boy at one time, now has made it successfully. And I think his credentials were there. He could fully represent the needs of everybody in this city. And I don't think he got a runaway vote. The only thing I hate that he didn't get 50,000 black votes here in Shelby County, where he would have won the governor's race.
All right, was there any perception of him as being a potential winner among that field and someone who might beat Blanton, who had less appeal based on his record?
Let me say that again. Repeat your question.
Was there any sort of a feeling within the black community that if you looked over the field, that the black community would be better off to unify, if not completely, to unify to the extent possible behind a single candidate to make its influence felt later?
No, I think, in the race, a lot of people organizations tried to say, let's defeat Ray Blanton, let's unify behind a particular candidate. I don't think that was the case. We had a black candidate in the race. I think the Democratic primary was a family-type fight with all Democrats fighting. And I think everybody had, that's why I stayed neutral in the race. That's why so many people stayed neutral. I thought all of them was good candidates, regardless of who won. It was better than either one of the four Republicans in the race. I don't think there was no question about that. And it didn't make any difference. Everybody just voted to try. I think it was a real clean, fair election. The only thing I hated, we didn't have a runoff law determined between Butcher and Blanton. The majority of the party.
You think if there had been a runoff law, that whoever would have won would have come out as a stronger candidate?
Yeah. Much stronger. Much stronger candidate.
Simply by being a majority candidate.
Being a majority candidate. See, this is what you got a lot of people there now. Can Blanton win? Look at all the votes. Only picked up X amount of votes. Can he win? Will all these other Democrats go behind Ray Blanton? I think that will come in. But I think they're unified behind it. With all of the gubernatorial candidates now joining forces with it, I don't see any problem with that.
I would take it that you would anticipate a large turnout in November, particularly black voters in Shelby County.
Shelby County, we
certainly hope. Because of your own race.
We certainly hope so. We're going to do our damnedest to get them out.
You also anticipate then that strong turnout will also vote in the governor's race while they're at the polls.
I'm sure they will.
Do you plan to, in effect, endorse Blanton, and would you expect him to endorse you?
More than likely. I haven't talked yet at this time.
You would consider that to be the probable course of events based on being Democrats and being politicians, though. I mean, that's basically it. Well, I'd presume his endorsement of you would be if he does that, would represent some sort of overture to the black community, wouldn't it? Indirectly, at least. How about if he fails to endorse you?
This is a way you say. I don't think he can afford to. I don't think he can, you know, man is sitting on 75,000 books. I don't think man can overlook that. I don't think nobody can overlook that. But if so, that still would make a difference. I probably will support him regardless. Ray Blunt need Harold Ford. Harold Ford don't need Ray Blunt. Just all we need is 8 10% of white voters with Donald. And I don't think there's no way we can miss our white voters. Not to what we have in store for our opponent. I don't think there's no way we can miss it. If he falls, if he talks about race, we got it. You know, and we're going to have to. You're talking about Kirkendall now? Yeah, Kirkendall. If we can get him to fight a race now. Then we got it. See, we won't be able to fully bring in what we want into this campaign and fully tie him with Richard Nixon and the big boy unless we can get the race issue. Yeah. It sure wears a thing. The only honest man in Watergate was a black man. He's a man that told it all. You know,
we just got certain things we need to tie in. To our campaign, Kirkendall, we got to make him fit into that program.
All right, if he brings race into the issue, then how does that fit into the campaign strategy?
Well, I think it's fit.
I mean, from does it fit in from the standpoint of even more mobilizing the black community, or are you speaking of reaction in the white community to that?
Number one, that would help too. You know, Kirkendall will create the issue for me in the black community without even me saying anything. And it takes someone else to create sometime the issues. And we got to force our opponent to make the issues. And then we got to make sure that they're on racial lines. We want the Kirkendall to take the issues of busing and race. That's what he used on Patterson in 72. And we're going to try to force him out in our first public appearance together. We're going to try to force him out on it. Probably he won't make it that night, but he'll make it the next place he goes when he's alone. Or he won't have me to contend with. Then all we want to do is make it public once, then we'll blow it out of proportion for him. Then we will, at that point, take him and put him on the defense from then on through the campaign. If he falls into our plan, the way we got it planned, but we're not just going to depend on that particular plan.
You're thinking that's going to have an adverse reaction to Kirkendall in the white community as well?
No.
Is that part of it?
No, because we're going to outwork him in the white community.
Okay. Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand. And now, the race thing then is to mobilize the black community.
Well, the race thing is also, see, if Kirkendall runs the race thing, then he's going to put us out there in the white community. And when we go in there knocking door to door, white folks, first thing they say, oh, he's not too bad, Kirkendall, you know, well, he's not as bad as they say he is. You know, we need something. Kirkendall would help us in the black community and the white community.
Okay.
You know. Kirkendall been fooling folks for 8 years, and we're gonna prove to the voters of the 8th congressional district. See, Patterson didn't go to the people. We going to him. Ain't no way in hell Kirkendall 50 gonna out knock me in door. Just that's not gonna happen. Yeah. And I knocked all the black doors in the primary. I'm gonna knock all the white doors in the general. You know, we know we might get run away from somehow, but we going anyway. He'll have twice as much money as we have, which we all mind.
Do you get a general difference in reaction in lower income white precincts, white residential areas, and upper income, middle and upper?
Really, we haven't worked about 1.5, 2 precincts. You know, fully worked them. The rest have been just spot checks and shopping centers. And I haven't found a difference in, you know, in none of them, all of them the same. Now, I never looked for the low-income or white community. I just started going to a precinct. It doesn't make any difference which one, except a Republican precinct. I got since I know there's about 23 to 27 of them in this 8th congressional district. And I wouldn't waste a day of time, you know. Yeah. I know where they are, so I wouldn't go in them. You know, you got 125 more to go in, 120 more to go in, so why should I go in that 20 cent? Then that 27 precincts, and he's got 63 solid black precincts he's got to overcome. So 63 and 63 is 126. You know, that means, you know, he's got 63 precincts to work to overcome me, number one. That means he's got to outwork me there.
Do you find that blacks expect more of an elected black official than they do of an elected white official?
Much more.
Is this a major problem?
One of the major problems. They expect much more from a black. You know, a lot of times, blacks have just been raised and have voted for white candidates so long until they just feel that white person can do a job, do a better job. Black folks just realize that. I mean, just believe that it's somewhere in their mind until here recently. Memphis blacks believe the same thing until we came along. You had blacks saying, oh, no, I'm not going to vote for that. I'm going to vote for this white. Until John and I started, you know, getting out here and building that confidence to let it be known that you can still be very vocal and at the same time be effective in your position. And I think that's how we gain the respect of so many people.
Is Bill Brock the most unifying factor of the Democratic Party?
Who?
Bill Brock.
You think he unified the Democratic Party?
It's sort of been our impression that he potentially is the most unifying force in the Democratic Party. It's a negative force. It much more seemed to be much more unity built around opposition to Brock than unity on any other single thing that we've been able to come across.
I would think that.
How do blacks perceive Brock? We've talked. White liberals tend to be very, you know, their reaction is that we've been able.
But no, you know the thing. White liberals are the ones that blacks can't trust anymore.
Yeah. What's happening on that score? You know, the old coalition.
You taking our campaign? I would never try and get a coalition with the white liberals. But the fact I haven't even called them. But the fact I will not call to get a coalition going. I think the greatest damage to the black race has been the white liberals.
In what way?
Setting blacks back. They never meant blacks any good. They've always been there to use the cushion, use blacks as a cushion to get them where they want to go. And you know, this has been true for liberals. And what I stand, what I'm calling a white liberal, that black, that white that's always around and telling blacks what they want to do, want to do this and do that, and always at the same time getting where they want to go and leaving blacks behind.
Does Richard Fulton fit into that category?
No.
Or
no, Richard Fulton wouldn't fit in that category. Not at all.
Okay. I was asking really to sort of help define.
Let me see who would fit in that category that you would know. I don't know who you know if you're from out of town. Who all you know?
Got a whole heck of a lot of people in there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, just wondering who all you know. One of my opponents, for instance, Mark Flanagan, he ran against me in the Democratic House. You know him?
No.
Yeah. Very outspoken liberal, he claimed. But they said he wouldn't support me for Congress. In Kirkland.
How about your new Democratic chairman in Shelby County?
Very good. Jim White, very good. I've served with him in the House. He served in the Senate. Very good. He'll unify the party.
What role does Avon Williams play in the legislature?
What role?
And how effective is he? Yeah.
Very effective. In fact, he was voted among the senators the most effective legislator in the Senate last year. Very powerful. Worked with him. He was always a co-sponsor of the bills. We co-sponsored each other's bills. So we worked closely. Bill that I passed, passed. You know, we worked together on it. You know. For the first time, we've had that type of coalition, well, not coalition, but relationship going where the two blacks has been effective in both houses. You know, we had to commend each other, you know. Anytime he give me the green light that he's passed one in the Senate, that I'd step it up out of the Kellen and standing committees and put it on the floor for a vote and we pass it in the House. Same thing was true. I could give him green light to go ahead with a bill, he'd pass it. Very effective. Very, very effective. Because we passed some bills nobody even dreamed we could do. So I have to respect him as the most effective legislator.
Does Bill Brock's image create an emotional response generally among blacks?
I don't think blacks even know Bill Brock. Even though he won in 1970. But I don't think blacks know anything about him. They knew about Al Gore. They didn't know anything about Brock. One out of four would know Brock. Bill Brock. Bill Brock would know him, but they don't know Brock. They would know, all of them would know that he's the person that they shouldn't vote for. They would know that, but they would, you know, Bill Brock walked in and asked when they said, who? Bill who? Wouldn't know.
But they do know him enough to know that he's the man they shouldn't vote for.
Yeah, then when you start talking about Bill Brock, U.S. Senate, you know, or something like this, and somebody else running, and they say, well, we'll take the other guy, you know, or something like that.
Do you think Blanton's going to win in November?
Yeah. I don't think no question. We're going to beat the socks off of him.
At first, I thought it'd be a hard job, but it won't.
He'll Why?
Well, you know, that youthful image that Lamar examined, he's got it. And I just felt that it was, that the guy was on the ball. I found out he's not on the ball like I thought he was. But I've been reading up on it a little bit lately. Yeah. Blanton and knocking him off. I was under the impression at one time that Blanton would be able to get black votes. He'll probably get two or three different blacks to come out open and support him. They won't get any 5% of black votes. So, he won't be able to make it.
End interview with Harold Ford. No more transcription. This tape.